Welcome to Daily Living with Father Chapin, where we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Yes, my friend, that is what we do. Sometimes the Bible can be a bit confusing, so we bust it down like a fraction. We're asking questions, questions like, what do these Gospels have to do with me? That's what I want to know. How can I take these Gospels and apply them into my daily living so that I can become a reflection of God's love to this world that obviously don't know God for sure and definitely is in deep need of more love? I want to be light in this darkness. I want to be a tool in the hand of God, making present His kingdom, not someday, but today and every day. And that is what this show is all about. Got a good one for you today. Today, we are celebrating the first Sunday of Advent. Now, the church has what is known as the Liturgy of the Word. What that means is that the church picks out what Gospels you are to read every Sunday. And they have Cycle A, Cycle B, and Cycle C. So Cycle A is Matthew, Cycle B is Mark, Cycle C is Luke. We have been in Luke over the last year. Now we are beginning the brand new liturgical season. This is like our New Year's Eve, and we are moving from Cycle C, which is Luke, to back to Cycle A, which is Matthew. And you might be thinking, well, what about John? Well, we roll out the big gun, John, every year at special occasions. So we are moving from Luke to Matthew, and that is our gospel that we are considering today. It's all about the end of the world as we know it. What do you say? We quiet our minds, put ourselves in the presence of God. We're going to school. Are you ready to be the student? We are hearing from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 24, verses 37 through 44. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so will it be at the coming of the Son of Man. In those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So will it be also at the coming of the Son of Man. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, and one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken, and one will be left. Therefore, stay awake, for you do not know on which day your Lord will come. Be sure of this. If the master of the house had known the hour of night when the thief was coming, he would have stayed awake and not let his house be broken into. So too, you must also be prepared, for at an hour that you do not expect, the Son of Man will come." The Gospel of the Lord. Wow, what a gospel it is. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You call in the kids. It's going to be good. We'll be right back. And we're going to talk all about this gospel and a few other things along the way here as we consider God's Word and how it is that we might be able to apply it into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living with Father Chapin. It is such a pleasure to be able to come into your home each and every week and share the good news, but it's a bit expensive. So I would ask you to consider grabbing a piece of paper and a pencil, and at the next break, I'm going to share with you some details how you can become a partner with Daily Living. And together, we can take the good news to a lost world. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. As I said, today we are celebrating the first Sunday in Advent. And the church is giving us a difficult gospel. It's uncomfortable. But of course, this is the nature of truth. Sometimes truth is not very warm or fuzzy. And such is the case today. It is uncomfortable. Because our gospel today is dealing with the end of days, also known as the apocalypse or the eschaton. It's the end of the world as we know it. But what makes this gospel particularly difficult is that, yes, while it is about the end of the world, or what we call the second coming, it is also very much about our own personal end, meaning our death, which, as I said, is uncomfortable. Even though we all know that someday we're going to die, that's an undeniable fact. If you're born, you will die. It's just not something that we really like to talk about. So we sweep death under the rug. We hide death behind the doors of hospitals and nursing homes. I mean, maybe we think about it every once in a while at a funeral. But it's a subject that is generally avoided. Consequently, we live in a world that lives like it's never going to die, leading many of us to die like we never lived. Jesus said to his disciples, "As it was in the days of Noah, so it will be at the coming of the Son of Man." So where to even begin? Well, how about let's start with "as it was in the days of Noah"? Because, I mean, think about it. If somebody's trying to explain something to you and they say, it's like this, it makes sense that you would want to know what that something else is. And in this case, that something else is the days of Noah. So what do we know about the days of Noah? Well, we know that in those days before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage, up to the day that Noah entered the ark. So we know that. They did not know until the flood came and carried them all away. So we know that they were caught off guard, unaware, thief in the night. So it will also be at the coming of the Son of Man. So we know this. But what else do we know about the days of Noah? Well, if you go to the book of Genesis, which is a chapter in the Bible you'll find in the very beginning, and you go to the sixth chapter, you can read all about it. God saw how great the wickedness of the human race had become, and that every inclination and thought of humanity was evil. The world had become corrupt in the eyes of God. It was a world that was full of violence. It was a world that was evil. It was a world that had lost its way. And I don't know about you, but that sounds very much like the world that we find ourselves living in today. Because we live in a world where violence has become commonplace. We live in a world where lying has become acceptable. We live in a world where people are calling evil good and good evil. And Paul wrote about this in 2 Timothy. He wrote, "There will be terrifying times in the last days. People will be self-centered and lovers of money, haughty, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, irreligious, callous, implacable, slanderous, licentious, brutal, hating what is good, traitors, reckless, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God." This is our world. So in a very real sense, we are living in these last days. We are living in the days of Noah. There are so many people fighting. There's so much division. There's so much hate. Basic civility and kindness seem to be in short supply. And this decline seems to be picking up speed. Now, our country, whether you agree with it or not, was built on Judeo-Christian values and principles, but all of that's gone, as we have actively thrown God out of the picture. We have forbidden prayers in our schools. In fact, if you even mention God, you might get sued by the ACLU. Why? Because we don't want God. Why? Because we have become our own gods. Paul wrote all about this many years ago, and may I suggest that what he wrote so many years ago has come to pass. Our world is worshiping the creature rather than the Creator. We live in a world of post-truth where facts are less important than feelings. And where has this led us? The days of Noah. Paul wrote, "They make a pretense of religion, but deny its power." Think about it. Religion, which is manifested in the Word, has great power. But if God's Word never convicts you, if it never makes you feel a bit uncomfortable, if you're never challenged, if you never feel like God is shining a spotlight on your soul, well then, my friend, you have eyes but do not see. You have ears but do not hear. And the Word has zero power in you, which brings me to Noah. Because let me tell you, he was listening. Oh yeah, he was listening. And when God spoke to Noah, what did he say? Build a boat. So he did. Like I said, you can read all about it in the 6th chapter of Genesis. And it was a big boat. Of course, there's a whole lot of speculation among scripture scholars about exactly how long it took him to build this boat. Some say 40 years. Others say 120 years. Of course, they lived a lot longer back then. But however long it took Noah to build his boat, he built it. It was a boat to provide him refuge from the storm that he knew was coming. It was a boat that would save him from the coming disaster. It was a boat that would deliver him safely to the promised land. And you know, we got a lot of boats around here today. They call them churches. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. You stick around. We'll be right back. And we will continue to talk all about the days of Noah here as we consider God's Word and how we might be able to apply into our daily living. Hi, this is Father Chapin, host of Daily Living. If you feel like you're being fed by this ministry, I would ask you to prayerfully consider a partnership with Daily Living and what we're trying to do here. A monthly gift of any amount that you feel comfortable with, and I will send you a monthly newsletter, and if you provide an email address, a script of the show prior to its broadcast. Just write a check to Daily Living, P.O. Box 339, Nitro, West Virginia, 25143. You can also go on the website at mydailyliving.com and give through PayPal, and together we can shine the light of the good news in a whole lot of dark places. What do you say we get back to the show? Welcome back to Daily Living. Now, just for the break, God spoke to Noah, and he told him, build a boat. So he did. He did not debate him. He did not negotiate terms. He did not say, well, I'll get to that soon. No, no. He dropped everything he was doing, and he began to build a boat. Can you imagine? The neighbors must have thought he had lost his mind. I'm sure many tongues were wagging. I imagine he was the talk of the town. And I imagine that many people came out to check him out. Hey, Noah, why are you building the boat? To which Noah, I imagine, probably responded, your works are evil in the eyes of God, which probably didn't go over so well. Not a message people really want to hear. It's a message that this world continues to reject, which is why most churches don't preach that message, don't want to offend anybody. I can assure you that if I got up on Sunday morning and gave that message, your works are evil in the sight of God, I imagine the bishop's going to get a few letters on that one. I mean, think about it. Do you really think if you got up there and gave that message that anybody's going to say, hey, thanks for the heads up, Father Shee. I'll make sure to take a look at that. I doubt it. I've said it in the past. I'll say it again. Truth does only one of two things. It either convicts your heart, causing you to change, or it makes you really angry because you don't want to change. That's kind of it. And usually that anger is directed at the messenger of that truth. I can hear it now. Who are you to say such a thing? How do you know what's evil before the eyes of God? My God thinks it's just fine. I imagine that's what he heard, or some version of that. Otherwise, think about it. Somebody else would have built boats as well, but nobody else built boats. Only Noah. Building that boat. Telling people, your works are evil in the sight of God. The flood is coming. And the only way you can be saved is to build a boat. What would that message look like today? How about, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. How about that message? I gotta tell you though, just as people laughed at Noah and walked away from that message, people continue to laugh today and walk away from that message. Just as they ignored the warnings of the impending flood in the days of Noah, people today continue to ignore the warnings. And just as in the days of Noah, they were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, this is exactly what we continue to do today. Carpe diem, seize the day. But back to Noah. I imagine some people kind of believed him. Maybe their hearts were pricked by the message. You know, a little bit at least. But as far as actually getting out wood and building an ark for themselves, well, you know, I'm kind of busy. I got things to do. Places to go, people to see, go, go, go. But that sounds like a good idea. No, I'll tell you what, I'm going to get to it someday. But you know what the problem with someday is? Someday is kind of like the day after tomorrow. Because someday never comes. How many of us are putting off building that ark? They did not know until the flood came and carried them away. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken. One will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill. One will be taken. One will be left. Therefore, stay awake. You do not know which day your Lord will come. So, as we know, they were caught unaware. I invite you to find your Bible, dust it off, and actually read this story. I know it's a radical concept, okay? But consider going to chapter 6 in Genesis and reading this story. It goes all the way through chapter 9. It's all there, black and white. Because we know that the floods did come. And if you read the story, there's this little verse in there, a very short little verse. And it comes after the rains had come and the boat had already been built and everybody was inside. It's chapter 7, verse 16, and it says, "Then the Lord shut the door." That's a short verse, but it's highly significant. The Lord shut the door. Think about it. Noah didn't have a pulley system, so he didn't shut the door. Who shut the door? The Lord shut the door. And guess what? When the Lord shuts the door, ain't nobody gonna open it. Third chapter, book of Revelation. "These are the words of him who are holy and true, who holds the key of David. What he opens, no one can shut, and what he shuts, no one can open. I know your deeds." My friends, if that doesn't convict you, nothing will. Remember the wise and foolish virgins. Five missed the wedding. Why? Because the door was shut. Meanwhile, this world lives in carpe diem, seize the day. Live and let live. I'm not here for a long time, so I'm just here for a good time. But Jesus is making it very clear that one day the Father is going to shut that door. Meanwhile, our world is riding on a train. And the passing scenery is beautiful. As we live day to day, just like in the days of Noah, all the while unaware of the danger that awaits ahead of us on the tracks. And as the train thunders down the tracks, the conductor comes down the aisle every once in a while and says, "All is well." Today, we call these conductors politicians. No matter how things are going, no matter how things look, the mantra is, "All is well. Carpe diem, seize the day." But you know, there's another phrase, very similar to that phrase, but profoundly different. Instead of carpe diem, which is seize the day, is carpe diem, or seize God. And how do we do that? We seize God when we grab at the coattails of his grace. We seize God when we repent and follow his word. We seize God when we build an ark. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, so that whoever believe in him may never die. Eternal life, my friend. If not, we will be washed away in the flood. Two men will be out in the field. One will be taken, one will be left. Two women will be grinding at the mill, one will be taken, one will be left. Whole lot of talk about these lines, a lot of ink has been spilled about these lines. Most saying that this is the rapture. Of course, it could be, I don't know. We're just talking here, but what if this is just Jesus saying, "Hey, it's time to get into the ark." And one says, "Okay, Lord, me and you, let's go." Meanwhile, the other says, "Ark? What ark?" What about you, my friend? Are you seizing this day? Or are you seizing God? He has provided you with an ark. His name is Jesus. Won't you accept him today? If you do, the door of his ark is open for you. But if you deny him and continue to live only for this day, Jesus makes it abundantly clear that someday that door is going to be shut. We are all heading down the tracks on this train we call life. But what we don't know is that the tracks ahead were twisted a long time ago. But Jesus is at the switch, and he can pull the lever and put you on a different track. So I guess in the end, it really all comes down to this question. What track are you on today? Carpe diem? The party train? Rolling down the tracks without a care in the world? Or carpe diem? Seizing the love and grace of God so freely offered from his cross, where the destination is guaranteed. What about you? Are you ready? Let us live as if Jesus had died this morning, was risen this afternoon, and is coming back tonight. You know, every day in this country, somebody does something nice for somebody else. Today, why don't you let that somebody be you? Because the best vitamin for a Christian is be one. This is Daily Living. I'm Father Chapin. As Mother Teresa said, just a little pencil in the hand of a writing God, sending a love letter to this world. Hope you can come back next week and we'll do it again. Until then, I hope you let God live in your life. And I bless you in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.